This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance home of their dreams with Rocket Mortgage. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4CBS is brought to you by Geico. You should have seen Mafi. He went to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, he saved 15% or more on his car insurance. All you have to do is switch to Geico. All right, so 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. I was looking at some of these games in college football, just so you know. They opened, these are lines that opened and moved, right? Just some of the changes. LSU opened at 25, now laying 28 to Utah State. Penn State was laying 16.5, and now it's 27.5 to Purdue.
No quarterback or wide receiver, their top two offensive weapons down.
Who, Purdue?
Yes.
That's a lot of points in a conference game. So I get it. Their two best players are out. That's a problem. Iowa State was laying 2.5, now 3.5 to TCU. Ohio State was laying 17.5, now 20 to Michigan State. The game's in Columbus, I believe. And so I don't know how you feel about Michigan State. If that game were in East Lansing and I was getting 20, I'd probably pounce on that number. But I think Ohio State, you know, at 17.5, I was going to lay it. I think that they're a very dangerous team.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State's had trouble scoring all season this year.
I mean, this Ohio State team scores just about every time they touch the football. I mean, I think they are, without a doubt, I hate to say it, but because I'm not, like, I was not buying into Ryan Day just taking over and winning every single game like Urban Meyer does, but he's got that talent there, and he is just literally going through the motions and letting them play, right? And this Fields kid, Justin Fields, has been lighting it up, and they are, you know, scoring 50, 60 points every week. They mean business. So don't think they're not. Did you see what they did to Nebraska? 48-7, right? I mean, that's on the road. They put 48 on them in their. And who does that to Nebraska ever? I mean, even this Nebraska team that, you know, Frost took over a couple of years ago, right? I've never liked their move to the Big Ten. That's just me. They should have stayed in the Big 12. I'll never change my opinion of that. And I do not agree with the governor that says they'll win a national championship and Big Ten titles under Frost. They do not look anywhere near a perennial power at all in the Big Ten. I mean, it's crazy, too, because Nebraska football, to me, was so fantastic in the Big 12. You know, back in the Big 8, they were so great, right, back in the days of Tom Osborne and such. I mean, to tell you, they would have, like, beaten every team in the Big Ten's ass, including Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan State and Michigan, right? Like, back in the day, he was winning national championships in Lincoln, and they could have beaten anybody, right? Now, I don't have faith on that football team literally playing anybody. Aren't they playing, like, Northwestern this week? I mean, what, are they going to barely beat them, if that? So Tulsa is getting they were getting 15 from SMU, now 13.5. Ole Miss was laying 6.5, now 7 against Vandy. Liberty was laying 4.5, now 5.5 against New Mexico State. Boise was laying 20 and a hook, now 23 to UNLV. Louisville was laying 3, now BC's getting 6.5. And that game's in Louisville. Auburn was the pick'em, now -3 against Florida. Notre Dame was laying 44.5, now 45.5 against Bowling Green. I mean, didn't they play some candy-ass team a few weeks ago? Or who was it, New Mexico, and they put 66 on them? Isn't that the same thing as playing Bowling Green? Literally, it's like the spinning image. And I would think New Mexico's bigger and better athletes than Bowling Green, too, right? I mean, let's face facts. So what else? Western Michigan getting 4.5 now, 1.5 against Toledo at the Glass Bowl. Ball State was getting 9, now getting 5 at Northern Illinois. Miami was laying 8.5, now 8.5, now 13.5 against Votek in Miami at Hard Rock. North Carolina was laying 7.5. Now it's 10 at Bobby Dodd and rambled around. Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. Hell of an engineer. And I drink my whiskey clear. Colorado laying 3. Now 4 against Arizona. I think that game's in Boulder. And then Western Kentucky was a pick-em now laying 3.5 to Old D. But not me, baby. Georgia laying 22, now 25 against Tennessee. I think the game's in Knoxville, right? So there's all your changes in college football in terms of spread movement from the opening lines that I got at Circa in Vegas to now. Fair enough? Chris in Dallas on the ticket. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Terrell, how you doing, my man?
Hey, dude.
Hey, I called you a couple weeks ago, man, and I was talking about the Cowboys spread when it was 22.5, 23, whatever it got up to. But,
right.
The week before I hit on that four-way parlay. But, man, I was wondering what you thought about this week, Cowboys versus the Packers.
I remember you, and I remember those games, obviously. That was that 21 and a hook spread. But I think they're playing the Packers at home. Listen, I saw one guy today try to sell me that, Zeke, he's destined for a huge breakout game against the Packers. You mean like that breakout dud he put up last week in New Orleans where he did absolutely nothing? I hope he doesn't. I think he's a great player. I think he's a phenomenal player, catching the ball, running the ball. I really love Zeke Elliott. I really do. So don't get me wrong, but I just hope, I pray to God he doesn't turn into one of these guys, gets all the money, and just takes days off. I mean, he got all that money now. He's just like, I don't care, whatever. I don't think that's who he is. I don't actually know if I believe he's going to have this gigantic day against Green Bay. I think Green Bay was livid from their performance last week with their defensive problems.
Especially against the run where the Eagles just ran the ball down their throat the entire game.
And then they beat him.
Which is why I think there's a chance he could have a big bust-out game if the Packers
so you
haven't
think they just
cleaned
keep
that
folding?
Up. If they haven't cleaned it up, that's a big opportunity for him on Sunday
right.
to run the rock.
We'll see. I think that, this is a always a great game, Green Bay and Dallas, right? Every time, Rodgers is going to show up for that one. He likes to perform at Jerry's World. And I have my doubts about that Green Bay defense, I got to tell you. But I just think, Dallas coming off a loss in New Orleans is not the end of the world. I know everybody in Dallas thinks that the, Cowboys are going to win every game they play because you're, half drunk. But the fact is they're not. And it's okay to lose, 12-10 or whatever in New Orleans. A lot of teams are going to lose in New Orleans, right? Just like a lot of teams are going to lose in Dallas. I think Dallas is a really good team. I think they're loaded. I am pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you, how good Witten looks. He looks like he didn't miss a beat, right? That guy's still balling and blocking and catching and producing at a high level. They're very dangerous. They have the ability to do great things. I love Jalen Smith. So I think they're better than the Packers. I really do. But, I always think you're in a game as long as Aaron Rodgers is on the field. For 60 minutes, that guy's going to sling it. And that's all there is to it. And what did you want to say about Oklahoma?
They, I was talking to my buddy this weekend, and, he was telling me, he's like, man, I really feel like Jalen Hurts looks like Cam Newton. And I was like, his play style is pretty similar, but what do you think his chances are with the Heisman?
Oh, I don't care. They should give him the Heisman today. There you go. Then everybody, there you go. You got it today, It's week 5, and we'll start giving out all the awards now because he's had a bunch of great games against candy-ass teams, right? They're lighting up everybody, right? Are they not? Is Oklahoma not just ringing everybody up? They're 4-0. Now, I'll give you this. They had, they played Houston, South Dakota, UCLA, and Texas Tech. And when they played UCLA, where was it, at the Rose Bowl or something like that? I don't even know. They may have played that game somewhere else, but wherever. They destroyed them because UCLA, at that point, sucked. And I still think they have their issues. They've got one win, right? And they just continue to blow games. The kid should have made the little chip shot field goal on Saturday, and instead they lost the game against Arizona. That was a pike. And then they beat up on Texas Tech, and I just don't think they're that good. So If you want to crown him, go ahead. And you want to give him the Heisman Trophy, go ahead. Frankly, I don't care who wins the Heisman Trophy. I'm sure millions of people do still care who wins it. I'm not one of them. Give it to him. I don't care. Congratulations. That'll be every quarterback that plays at Oklahoma will get the Heisman every year. It'll be fantastic for all of you.
It honestly does not have anywhere near the
juice,
cachet, or the luster, or the juice that it used to have. It used to be a big deal. And honestly, I feel like in the last 10 to 15 years,
it's just a phony
years,
big deal.
Nobody cares anymore.
It's phony.
Nobody cares who wins the Heisman.
And no one watches that touchdown thing on Saturday night when
awful.
They give it.
It's brutal.
No one can even watch it. Mary Ellen in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, can I have a celebratory Guinness?
Get her a Guinness.
And I just have to say one thing. Woo!
Slow down, Mary.
I'm just having a good night.
Don't get too drunk tonight, Mary. You'll be up all day tomorrow with a hangover.
I know. I'm just it's just turned from a very bleak game to a very happy moment.
So when they were losing 3-1, it was the seventh inning. Were you ready? Eighth inning. You're going to the eighth inning, and you're down 3-1. Did you think they were toast?
Did not look good. I was counting the outs.
Yeah, I was too, because I bet on the Nationals.
Sweet.
Yeah, that was a nice, just a beautiful way to win a bet. To see that that play was just crazy. That's a lucky bet win for me, but it is what it is.
That 20-year-old is a sweet ball player.
Who's Soto?
Yeah, he's sweet.
You know, he's sweet because he got the hit. They would have said he sucks if he didn't. So,
well, he's a good ball player. He's got a lot of potential.
He's beyond potential. He's got great talent. He's going to be a rock star there for many years. So
yep.
I think that's obvious. And, I mean, the whole thing played out funny, right? Wasn't it Zimmerman that got on? Was he not the guy that got on base running down there with the broken bad hit, wasn't it? I mean, there was some strange plays in the game.
That was very weird.
You know, they actually – the Nationals actually have – as if it matters, played well against the Dodgers this year. Almost literally all the games were very close and identical. The numbers, the ERAs, the one difference in the series that the Dodgers won 4-3 was the bullpen. The Nationals bullpen, they had an ERA over 8, and the Dodgers ERA was around 2. And so their starters were around 2, their bullpen was around 2, the Nats starters was around 205, and their bullpen was around 8-6 something. So their bullpen imploded in all of the games against the Dodgers, and that was when they had their big bullpen problems. So at least the Nationals have played well against the Dodgers. I think anything's possible, but I will say that on the field even and on paper, I think the Dodgers are the better team.
But anything can happen in a short series.
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen in a short series. Like, anything could have happened tonight. Like, A, you could have lost that game. You were getting your ass beat in. And B, a ball bounced left of the guy's glove, and you get a 3-run, game-winning hit, which should have been a single. And it was a, bases-clearing, game-winning hit. So you got lucky, and you're in it. And now let's see him take on the juggernaut Dodgers, who've been to 2 straight World Series. But I think the Nationals go into it now. Certainly looser than they looked tonight. I did not think at all that they looked loose tonight. I thought they looked terrible tonight. I thought Scherzer looked terrible tonight. I thought Strasburg looked good. And finally, their bullpen shut the door easily in the ninth. So all those things are very positive for the Nationals. 855-212-4 CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. A couple of things. You get the podcast of this show, which is kick-ass, right? Carver High, it's like a 2-hour and change, no commercials every day, and we put it out right after the show, right after the show on Twitter, at Scott Farrell, at On Event CBS.
It's available everywhere. You can get it wherever you want to get it. You can get it on Twitter. We put it there. You can get it on Facebook. You can get it on the radio.com app. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it anywhere.
Google Play, anywhere.
No reason to not be able to listen to the show. The whole entire show, all 4 hours. No commercials, clocks in around, 2:10, 2:15.
Boom.
I mean, it's just as easy as it gets.
Greatest
it
really thing ever.
Is.
And then the other thing I wanted to tell you about is Carver High has a hockey podcast that's back in business. The ILC podcast, I think the fresh season episode debut is out now.
Debut is out. First one today. Another one before the game Friday, coming on like Thursday or somewhere around there. And then away we go.
And then we also have our radio.com broadcast, all 4 hours, uninterrupted, you know, with no preemptions. Like a lot of the stations we're on, we get preempted for sports, play-by-play, et cetera. You don't have that problem on radio.com or on the CBS Sports app or on the SiriusXM app or on Ask Alexa. You can say, play CBS Sports Radio and Ask Alexa will do you up. Here's the deal. All 4 hours, no preemptions, no hits, no runs, no errors. It's great. That's how you listen. All these people crying all the time in Boston or wherever else. How come you're not on? Blah, blah, blah. What is so hard about just getting the app for free and downloading it on your phone and then having the show at your fingertips? Boom. It's just so easy. Stop playing around with all this worrying about why he's never on. There's a game on. Why? How come I can't listen to Pharrell? Just get the apps and it's done. Radio.com. Boom. You're done. It's easy. What's the problem? Ed in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Hey, Pharrell.
Hey, dude.
Man, I'm speechless, man. I'm speechless. I was so pissed off at first. It's because
I
appreciate Scherzer, everything he's done for the team. This guy's won the Cy Young twice in a row. He could have won it three straight times. He's been fantastic, I mean, since he's been here. But at the end of the day, we won the division. We went to the playoffs before he came. And we've won the division and gone to the playoffs after he's been here. We haven't gone further, really, since he's been here, you know?
Right.
The fact is there. Strasburg is a much better pitcher in the playoffs than Scherzer. One. Two, Strasburg was, I think he was a better pitcher over the whole season, even though Scherzer was great early on. But since he came off the DL, he's been injured, he just hasn't been himself. You know, he hasn't had a quality start in a month. And they put this guy to start the wild card game. Are you kidding me? When we have a guy who's so capable, who can win us the game in Strasburg. It's just like there's so much favoritism for Scherzer, like in DC media with the team. They act like it's the Washington Scherzers, you know, like he can do what he wants. He can tell the coach when he wants to come off the mound. Are you kidding me? He's not Walter Johnson, all right? He's been great, but come on.
Listen, bro, just stop. Just stop. I mean, you're just abusing this guy. He's carried your franchise, and then so he got injured, and he's been bad since the injury. That's the bottom line. You're just, honestly, like you're getting a little heavy on the guy. He got lit up again tonight, so you know what you should do? Kick him off the team. You feel better now? There you go. Problem solved.
They did win the game tonight, didn't they?
They won the game. Have you ever heard anyone complain more after you win a great playoff game? And this guy's just destroying Scherzer than the Nationals. Don't even be a fan of the team. Dude, save yourself the grief. Is there anything worse than some guy screaming and yelling about the team that just won? They just won, but he wants everyone fired and the manager and the owner and the pitcher. Get rid of the pitcher, your best pitcher. The guy's been incredible there. I mean, is he not? Like, I agree with you. Strasburg's great, too, but the both of them, is that not the reason you buy a ticket to go see that team, to see those two, or to see, you know, Rendon and Soto and you know, before that, Bryce Harper. I mean, that's the reason you bought tickets, right? And you like going out there watching him strike out 14, 15 guys every time he pitches, right? So obviously he is he's hit a wall. That's pretty clear now. And it may not be the end of his problems, right? Because you know he's going to pitch again. And he's been giving up multiple home runs in every start he's had in like the last five starts. So he's getting lit up. He's obviously lost it. And his season looks shot to me, but, you know, I mean, he has been so unbelievable for that franchise for several years, right? And then in Detroit, he was incredible. But let's face facts, in D.C., just can't win in the playoffs. So crucify him. Do whatever you want to him, dude. I don't want to hear it, honestly. You just won the game. I just won a huge bet, and you're complaining like the world ended. I mean, honestly, are you listening to yourself? Seriously, dude. Give it a rest, man. Go to bed. Smoke a doobie or something, honestly, because it's just like you just won the game and you're just ready. I mean, you are the most miserable person I've ever listened to after a playoff win. Oh, my God. I mean, that's what's wrong. Is that not, like, is that not hilarious? Like, I've never seen anyone so mad after winning. I mean, you are just unbelievable, dude. Kenneth in South Carolina.
Yeah, what's up, Pharrell?
Hey, dude.
Yeah, earlier you touched on Muschamp. How long do you think it'll be before South Carolina get rid of Muschamp?
I don't think it's going to be long. I know that he's probably got some huge buyout and everything else, but I'm starting to believe, seriously, that he's one of the most overrated coaches I've ever seen in my life. Like, right? Like, he was, remember they brought him to Florida, right? He butchered that. And at South Carolina, it's just been the same thing. He's just not getting it done. I mean, he's obviously not able to handle the big-time job. I think he'd be a good coach in a smaller conference for the rest of his career, because his career in big-time programs, it would appear to me, are over. No one's going to keep hiring this guy. He never wins, right? All he does is lose big games. So I don't think he's long for this world at all. Will in Pittsburgh on the Fan.
Hey, Scotty. Hey. I talked to you a couple times before. I know earlier you were talking about Ohio State.
Right.
And how great they looked, you know, like beating Nebraska. Back when, you know, I was a younger, and, you know, like you said, years ago when Scott Frost used to play quarterback for them, they were, you know, they were exceptionally good. They were year in, year out, they were a good program. They're in the Big Ten, it's a different, you know, it's a different game than what it was in the Big Eight or the Big 12. But my question is, I understand what Ohio State went in there and did to them on the road. Now, I don't know what Ohio State starters played. I don't know how much time they played. I did watch the game, but it was more, you know, I was in and out. I looked at the TV,
right.
What was going on.
Right.
I know. They were up like 38-41-0 at half. I know we were up, I'm a Penn State fan, so when I say we, I mean Penn State. I know Penn State was up, you know, probably about the same thing at halftime, 38-0 over Maryland.
Right.
And I know after halftime, you know, Clifford was pulled. A lot of the starters were pulled. You know, it was time for some second-string, third-string guys to get their turn.
So what's the point, Will? What's the point here? You're just going on and on about it. I just want to be honest. Like, you're talking about, will Penn State be able to go to Columbus and win the game on November 23rd? Is that not what you're asking me at the bottom line?
My question to you is, how do you think Penn State and Ohio State match up against each other?
I think it'll be a great game. I think they are starting to look to me, honestly. I think Penn State is better than Michigan State and Michigan. And I think Ohio State and Wisconsin are, you know, those are the three best teams with Penn State. So I think Penn State will be able to play against Ohio State. I think it'll be a great game, and I think Ohio State will win in Columbus because they'll get the calls or the bounces. Something will go their way like it always does when they play in Columbus. You go there and win, it's a hard deal, right? It's a tough task, a very tall order to go to Columbus and win a football game. I think Franklin has got a great team. I don't think anybody expected him to be this good after McSorley left, right? But they have been tough as hell. I think the Ohio State, I like this kid Fields. I think they look fantastic. Like I said, I'm not a fan, but I think I respect what they're doing. They're killing everyone. They're destroying everyone. So I can't wait for that game. I think everything up to this point for both of them has been pretty much cream puff city.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, don't forget to get a piece of PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's F-E-R-R-A-L-L, PharrellOnTheBench.com. All the best picks in college and pro football. Are you kidding me? How about back-to-back 64% weeks in college football? Last week I hit my top five ranked plays, 7 of my top 8, 8 of my top 10. Boom. NFL Sunday and Monday, 10-4 in spreads. That's 71%, baby. In the NFL, through 4 weeks, I went 79%, 77%, 62%, and 71%. Now listen, it's all documented. No games, no BS. It's straight up. You're going to love it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Hockey starts tomorrow. You get everything, every hockey game, boxing, MMA, baseball through the World Series. I hit the Nats tonight. You get my A's, Rays pick. Get on there, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. All right. George in Lipstick City, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Morel, I love your picks, man. I really appreciate all the great picks in NFL and college.
Thanks, man.
And I'd love to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. I know it's a dream right now, but it's possible. And I'm taking the Rams straight up against the Seahawks. I think they'll come back to earth and just play the game and win.
Well, I am concerned about a couple things with the Rams. One, I don't like Gurley's situation at all. Two, I can't just have him throw 64 times in a football game. I just think that they're getting away from what they like to do. And then three, you're dealing with a Seahawks team that literally never loses in primetime. And then at home, even worse. I mean, 17-2 in primetime since 2010. I mean, that is crazy. At home, they just do not lose at home on primetime games. So all of that is stacked, in my opinion, against the Rams. I don't like seeing Goff throw 64 times, whatever it was. I just think that's crazy. But it is what it is. If that's what you got to do, go for it. But it didn't work, did it? Tampa beat them. Now, I think they're going to be angry about that game, but they got their ass beat. So you can be angry all you want. They got their ass beat. They gave up way too much. You're down 21-0. You should lose the game. So, and they did. But they fought, and I'll give them that. They fought. They came back. They had a chance to tie it, you know, to score and go for two, whatever. He fumbled, and that was it. Sue picked it up, and that was game over. But I think the Rams, to be honest with you, you got to deal with Russell Wilson. He's awesome. That's a problem. But I do think, frankly, that the Rams are a better football team overall than the Seahawks at this point. I still believe that. But I think the Seahawks could win that game. And I certainly think the Rams can win the game. And the Rams have beat them in 6 of 8. So I think it's going to be a really good game. And I think the Rams do have a shot in Seattle, despite all those trends that say they don't have a shot at all. I mean, if you look at trends, you look at numbers, the Seahawks never lose these games, ever. Thursday night games, 8-1. Primetime, 17-2 at home. That's crazy. In 9 years, that's crazy. Played 19 games, won 17 of them. Does that not say, you know, that tells the story, doesn't it? Chris in Michigan talking about the Wolverines.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, chilling. Hey, man, you think Penn State's better than Michigan?
I think that Michigan, so far to me, has been very unimpressive, and I think you do too. You should have lost to Army, and you got lucky and won a game. You celebrated like you won the national championship, and then, congratulations. You know, you whipped up on Rutgers. I mean, what have you done to be better than anybody so far this year? I mean, there's people talking about Harbaugh sucks up there, and now you're telling me that they're better than Penn State? Penn State's racking up 60 points a week.
How many?
60.
I don't know, man.
Bro. Like you're wearing blinders. You think Michigan looks good this year?
Semi. Can I go that? Can I say semi?
I think they've had. I am not gonna judge Michigan. I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're a bad team. But I thought when they played a good team, which they played two of them. In my opinion, they played Wisconsin, and they got their ass beat. And I hit that bet, too, by the way. And I said all week that Wisconsin's a better team than Michigan. And then Army had them by the throat in Ann Arbor, and they should have beat them. Should have, could have, would have. They didn't get it done. Michigan, they won. I'll give you that. What was it, in overtime or something? They got, you know, they scored, and then they sacked him, and he fumbled or something, and the game ended. So, look, you barely beat Army. I mean, you have athletes that are going to the NFL on this team. You know, every team that plays in Ann Arbor, they got guys going to the NFL. Army has no one. I mean, these guys are going to war, okay? They're serving our country. These guys should have lost to Army, but they didn't. I'll give you that. So, congratulations. You beat Middle Tennessee, Army, and Rutgers. And then the only good team, really, that you played was Wisconsin, that like, legit, in Camp Randall, you got your ass beat. I mean, Taylor ran down your throat for 200 yards. So I'm not impressed at all with Michigan. So whatever. And they're ranked because they're always ranked. They got that cachet, that juice. They get the national love every year that Michigan's ranked, no matter what. They don't even look like a team that should be ranked to me at all. Literally.
Well, look, if you're going to call up here and say, you think Michigan's better than Penn State, give us a reason. Like, say why you think they're better than them. All right? Now, Penn State hasn't lost yet. Have they played anybody that great either? No, they haven't. But other than the Pitt game, they've whacked everybody that they've played, right?
Yeah,
they've whacked everyone.
But they played nobody. They beat Idaho, Buffalo, and then they beat up on Maryland 59-0, and they beat Pitt 17-10. But that's a rivalry game.
But say why you think that they're so much better than them, not just because you're a Michigan fan. Just say, hey, I think that they're better than Penn State because X, Y, or Z. I mean, because you're a Michigan fan. Oh, you think they're better than them? Yeah, so far they have been, okay? You've lost a game. They haven't. Did you play somebody better? Yeah, you did. Penn State hasn't played a team like Wisconsin yet. They haven't. But it's coming. It's coming down the pike for them.
Yeah,
it is. The tough part of their schedule is around the corner.
So listen, you know.
We'll find out for real on October 19th because they play each other that day in Happy Valley.
Right, and here's the deal. We sure will. And then I'll tell you what. So Michigan has to go to Happy Valley. Have fun there.
On October 19th.
I think that'll be a really good game. I think Penn State will have their hands full that day, and I guess we'll find out who's better. But here's the deal. You know it as well as I do. Let's get down to the gist of it. What's going to happen is when you play Ohio State again, and the game's in Ann Arbor, right? It's in Ann Arbor.
Yes.
You're still losing. All they do is lose to Ohio State. That's all. 14 out of 15 years. That's so humiliating. There should be like we should use a separate phone line for you Michigan fans so that you don't interfere with everybody else, because you guys bragging about anything is so hilarious to me because you can't beat Ohio State. I mean, they kick your ass so many. They're like literally sleeping with your girlfriend every night, and you're out doing whatever. She's got her new lover, okay? And he's wearing scarlet. Taylor in Philadelphia.
Hey, what's up, bro? Can I get another Budweiser and a shot of J-Mo?
Cold Budweiser. J-Mo, two fingers. Check out.
Thank you, my man.
Yeah.
Question. So, do you think the Browns-Ravens game was more of an effect of the Browns are returning back to where they should be based on paper, or do you think the Ravens were frauds playing the Dolphins and the Cardinals and everybody?
Well, I think Carver High said some stuff to that effect last night. Are you willing to stick to that maybe they didn't play anybody and they were overrated, and that the Browns, you know, here's the deal. I thought the Browns really let things be very simple this game. They gave Baker Mayfield a quick assignment. Get rid of the ball, throw it to your stars, Landry, Beckham a couple times, and they gave Chubb the ball. So the play action was working and the running game was working. The Ravens couldn't stop the run all day. The guy ran roughshod all over him. The game was decided because you couldn't tackle Chubb at all, and he did whatever he wanted with the ball, which means first downs, time of possession, easy, just moving the chains all day because you couldn't stop the running game. So I think the Ravens defense, to me, looked a lot different than it used to with Sizzle in there, your boy Suggs. They looked a lot different to me for the first time they got exposed. And I actually think they got their hands full big time in Pittsburgh on Sunday.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying that they're not a good team. I just don't think if we know that yet. And the first 2 weeks, they whacked Miami and they beat Arizona at home. And as the season goes on, we find out that those are probably two of the five worst teams in the NFL this year. They were getting blitzed by the Chiefs and had a late-in-the-game comeback to make the score look close, and then they got ran over at home by the Browns. So where's the big win that they've had so far? Who have they beaten?
Nobody.
Miami and Arizona. Okay, now, a lot of teams around the league haven't beaten anybody good yet. But to say that they're a great team, I think that them, like a lot of other teams in the league, we still have to get a little further down the road before we know that.
Yeah, for sure. Richard and Myrtle Beach are on CBS Sports Radio.
Terrell, I love your show because you tell it like it is.
Oh, thanks.
Two things real quick. Being from Alexandria for 50 years, I'm glad the Nats won tonight. And, you know, I'll take luck with skill any day. Two things real quick. Do you think the Nationals can compete with the Dodgers? I know they're a better team, but do you think that'll be an interesting series?
Do I? So which series are you talking about, the Nationals and Dodgers?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, like I said before, I'll say it again. You must have missed it. I think the Dodgers are a better team. I think they have a better pitching staff. I think they have a better bullpen. I think they have a better lineup, although the games that the Nationals played against them were all very even. Same ERAs from both starting rotations. The difference in the series was not runs. It was, the ERA of the bullpen. The Dodgers' bullpen in the seven games was a 2. and the Nationals bullpen was 8.5 runs. So bottom line is the Nats bullpen has to do a better job against the Dodgers. They tore up the Nationals bullpen. And if that's the case again in the series, the Dodgers will win. He wanted to say something about the Redskins as well, which I can answer quickly, that they're going to get their ass beat against the Patriots because the Redskins are a joke. If they'd ever get back to prominence was the question that he asked, and not anytime soon. Not even anytime soon. Not even literally in 5 to 10 years, it looks to me like they're a mess. I guess anything's possible. Maybe 7 years they could be good again. Like, really good again, maybe. I mean, that's just completely throwing a noodle against the fridge to see if it's ready. 855-212-4CBS is the number to get on the bench. We want to hear from you. Talk about any college game this week, any pro game this week. Where do you hurt? You got pain? Bring it in to Uncle Futrelli. The doctor is in. Wax up on the bench. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.